Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Brendan behind the glass. It is a Wednesday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Boy, this Astros front office stuff just isn't going away, is it? Like, it's just going to go on forever. It looks like, we'll get into this a little bit later, looks like Jim Crane's going to take it into the new year, 2023. I love, by the way, how Crane denied and rejected the interview request with Passan for his article. And then literally the next day, he talks to Brian McTaggart. I thought that was so good of the Astros owner.
I liked it. I liked it because of a guy that likes to play games and think that he is something special in the media. I like when athletes and or owners and general managers decide, oh, we can do that too. I've got my favorites, and I've got people that I know are loyal to me. And that's I've seen forever in a day between coaches and players. They know the guys that they can trust, that they have a relationship with. They're going to give, even the organization, I'm going to give those guys the breaking news. I'm going to give them the exclusive because I owe you nothing. And when you treat me the way Passan treats the Astros, the last thing I want to do is give you another article that you can lead with, that you can possibly drag us in the dirt with.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll get into what was said by the Astros owner, because I think a lot of it was newsworthy. I think there's a lot of stuff in there that kind of gives you an idea of what Jim Crane, the Astros front office, wants to, one, how to hire a general manager, secondly, kind of their offseason goals and what they want next year's team to look like. So we'll get into that throughout the entire show. But what was interesting yesterday, Michael Schwab, and I didn't hear this at the time that they had Michael Schwab on yesterday, but Michael Schwab was on with the bench. And Michael Schwab, probably the best Astros follow for somebody who's not actually like employed by the Astros, not a beat writer by the Astros, kind of runs Astros Twitter, always has really good information. And I think he's in the know. I really do. I believe that he knows people within the organization whenever he reports on things, because he wrote, you know, stories about like why Crane and Click don't see eye to eye, et cetera, et cetera. Here was Michael Schwab yesterday on the bench talking about an interesting name that could potentially be the general manager for the Houston Astros.
The major frustration that Jim Crane was really seeing, and this is from people who told me over many years, is that he wanted to see the bigger deal. He wanted to make big deals like Liam Hendricks happen. He wanted to see Starling Marte happen. I mean, yep. I think we've heard before, but Greinke was a name that literally Jim Crane said, go get Zach Greinke. I don't care how it happens. Go get him. So that's where his mindset is on the top level. These are the big things I want to see. And if you're not getting that done, then you're not the right person for me. What I've been hearing from people for several months about Crane is that he wants a Lunau guy again. He wants someone from the Lunau tree. That's where you get the David Stearns. That's where you get the Sig. My understanding from sources is that Crane had been in contact with A.J. Hinch for possibly taking the GM role for over the past few months. He wants to recreate what he had again for the juggernaut years and what we're seeing right now.
A.J. Hinch, a possible name for the Houston Astros as the general manager of this club. Of course, the acting manager for the Detroit Tigers. How would you feel if A.J. Hinch was the general manager of the Houston Astros?
I wouldn't like it. I don't mind, and I said this until he took the Tiger job. I thought there was a chance that he would come back someday and manage the Astros. But he's a manager. To me, I know he worked in the front office in Arizona. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that that's enough to say that he's ready to take the reins full-blown, be to the general manager type guy. I know that he and Crane still have a good relationship. I knew after they quote-unquote fired him, because he was going to be suspended for a year anyway, that they were texting and communicating frequently throughout each week of the season. So I know there's a relationship there. But I don't see him as a general manager type that I would feel comfortable coming in and being the new general manager of the club. And also, if that's the case, then why not be Jeff Luna?
Yeah, we'll get to the Luna in a second. I wouldn't mind Hinch as the general manager. I think that he would be good in that role. Now, are there other names that I like more? Yeah, Sig Meidel is a name that I really like. Now, quirky, awkward, socially awkward, very much an analytical guy. I think that he'd be good at the job, and that he would also look be something that Crane wants, right? The Luno part of it, because he was Luno's right-hand man for a long time. I know people have mentioned, like, Brad Ausmus as well. Michael Schwab didn't. He mentioned that he could, like, work in the front office but not the GM. He mentioned David Stearns again. But if Crane's going to hire a general manager this year, I think you can kiss the idea of David Stearns goodbye, because you're not going to hire a GM this year and then try to get David Stearns on board next year. I think that the writing would be on the wall there. So there's candidates I like more than A.J. Hinch, but I don't think A.J. Hinch would be bad at all. Whenever he was with Arizona, you mentioned that he was in that front office there, and he was considered by Baseball America then 10 to watch in the next 10 years to be a future general manager. I think he's also that combination of what Jim Crane is looking for, where he wants partly analytical, partly old school. And I think A.J. Hinch gives you both. A.J. Hinch has been able to adopt the analytical side of the game, very good with the analytical side of the game, knows it very well, and then has also been able to throw the old school baseball mentality of kind of just fill the game out. I think that he blends both of them together. So from like a position as the GM, A.J. Hinch, I think, would be good at it. The concern that I would have is that he won a World Series as a manager for the Houston Astros. I don't love what it could potentially do to, like, Dusty Baker. Like, I think Dusty Baker would be looking over his shoulder every second. Like, he gets off to a bad start. Are they going to put A.J. Hinch in the dugout? So I don't like it from that angle. Like, if he's the former manager, people wanted A.J. Hinch back as a manager, like, even this year. Some people are still saying bring A.J. Hinch back as manager. I don't like bringing A.J. Hinch into the GM spot while Dusty Baker is still around.
And I didn't think of that, and I don't think that Dusty should be looking over his shoulder for anybody, because it's a one-year deal, and he's still going to get paid, and he's done what he set out to do. And I think he should be confident enough, especially with his relationship with the owner, that he'd be okay. The thing to me where I would question A.J. Hinch is when you go back to the scandal of 17 and everything that we've heard, and also then parlay that with what we've heard from Crane about what bothered him about Click and those kind of things. A.J. Hinch didn't have the sack to go in and put his foot down and take out a monitor and put a stop to something that was going on in his clubhouse that he knew was going on and he knew it was wrong. Do I feel like he's going to have the same issues as Click about going to Jim Crane and saying, hey, I'm exploring this trade. Hey, what do you think here? And tiptoe around him instead of being what Crane likes, the kind of guy that's just going to knock on the door and go, look, I've looked at three or four different trades. These are the big ones. These are the medium-sized ones. Do you like any of them? Let's talk.
Yeah, that's an interesting comparison to me, because like 17 is kind of like smashing monitors based on sign stealing that everybody else in Major League Baseball was doing. I don't know if I can draw that as a comparison about how he's going to be handling trades.
But I'm talking about you're right, but not the trades, the personalities, right? You're talking about a type A that you're dealing with in Crane. You're talking about a type A manager or a very, very confident manager that comes in and says, I don't care who the players are. I don't care what, they're wanting to pull. This is my clubhouse. We're not doing this crap.
Right. Because I think that you've had two general managers under Crane, right? You've had Luno, who Crane loves. Well, maybe not loves him personality, but loved him professionally. And then he's had James Click, right? And Luno was like uber aggressive, not bold, brave, willing to do brash. Whatever. Brash, yeah, arrogant, cocky, all of those kind of one and the same, right? And then you had James Click, who I think acted scared. He wasn't willing to spend somebody's money that was telling him, hey, here you go, spend my money. So you've had two very different general managers, and Crane telling McTaggart, look, last time I had to hire a GM, I had to act fast. This time I'm going to be deliberate. I'm going to be slow. Don't expect anything until the turn of the calendar, until 2023, January, February, somewhere around there. So those have been the two general managers that Crane has worked with. I think A.J. Hinch, if the spectrum is Click scared, Luno brave, and like fearless, I think A.J. Hinch is probably in the middle. Like, I don't think that he's going to act scared at all, but I also don't think he's Luno bravado. And if I had to pick one side where I would give A.J. Hinch, like, the lean to, because I do think he's, like, firmly in the middle, but to not be in the middle, I think Hinch would be more aggressive than he would be scared and conservative.
Here's the one thing why I would say you kind of move the scale that way a little bit more is there's a relationship already with Crane, right?
Right.
Unlike Click, and by the way, Click used McTaggart and the ability to talk to McTaggart to basically
tell his side of the story.
Yeah, some of the tea leaves.
Yeah.
And also say, look, this was a guy that didn't have the ball sack to come down and talk to me. I didn't like the way he did business as opposed to Luno. I think that the one thing where it might change a little bit for AJ is I know this guy going in. We had a good relationship for years. We talked even after I left. I know who he is and what he's all about. So I don't have a problem knocking on the door in his office and going in there and giving him, you know, hard facts and or conversations about what's going on in the trade market. Whereas I think Click, like you said, I think he was walking around scared. I think that, you know, while he was talking to his peers and he was talking to his staff and he was going, I think it's fine. But I think when it came time to, now I got to go to the big boss man and put this out in front of him, I don't think he looked forward to that, and I don't think he probably handled it too well.
I think he was hesitant to make the big move. Mm-hmm. Like the little moves, because he made a series of little moves that were pretty good, right? Jordan Alvarez contract extension is a good move, but that's not like this huge leap of faith, right? Like it's pretty easy to make that contract. The relief pitchers he signed, like signing Neris to a two-year club player option, whatever it is, for a third year at reasonable money is not
the
a trades, huge leap
the deadline
of faith.
The year before weren't massive, but they were very effective.
I mean, the most like controversial thing that he did was maybe trade Miles Straw, right? Mm-hmm. And Miles Straw was lousy whenever he traded him. So it's not like this very difficult thing to do where I'm going to trade this really good baseball player. He traded a struggling hitter who was a good defender, and it irritated Dusty
Baker.
Would
you put Correa's deal and letting him walk in there? Or is that because that, a lot
know.
Of times it's more Crane than Click, right?
But it's also the cheap way to do it, right? Like, well, letting him walk was courageous, but signing him would have been more bold, right? Because now you have this huge investment of money. You're paying a guy $35.1 million, the biggest contract ever given single year, to an infielder. Like, the easy thing to do is not pay it.
You went with Pena from day one, and you basically were rolling the dice saying, I'm not only going to let this big-named historical figure in Astros history walk,
right,
but I'm going to replace him with a rookie that's never played in the big leagues before, and he's my guy.
But it's no investment. Like, the investment
is not financial.
Yeah,
right.
So, like, it kind of goes both ways. Like, it's bold to be able to make that decision, but did he fall into that decision because he wasn't willing to spend? Now, Crane is always kind of involved here as well. All right, you bring up that name, Jeff Luhnow, 713-780-ESPN, because they're saying, look, they're saying that Crane wants a Jeff Luhnow guy, that he wants to be able to, you know, tap back into the glory years. And not to say that the glory years are gone, but he wants to be able to tap into those glory years. He wants a Jeff Luhnow guy. Why not just Jeff Luhnow, right? If he wants a Jeff Luhnow guy, why not Jeff Luhnow? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. And also, would you be all right if A.J. Hinch is the next general manager of the Houston Astros? We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. You should be happy with HR&P as your next HR&P provider. Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holley. Members of the Cougar 100 for the eighth year in a row. You've seen the HR&P signage at U of H games. You've seen their building off the Beltway. And business owners, let HR&P help you so you can spend time growing your business, putting your time and resources back into your business while HR&P does all the dirty work. HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HR&P can help in any or all of those areas. Look, there's no box with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small the job, doesn't matter how big the job. You want them to do one of those things, they'll do one of those things. All of those things, they'll do all of those things, and everywhere in between as well. HR&P completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. You have a problem or an issue, HR&P will find a way to help. And they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that, but you'll also love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to some stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you, and they know your business needs. Look, I'm an employee of an employer that uses HR&P, and anytime I've had a question, always very quick to respond and always very helpful. So take care of your employees as well. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
According to McTaggart, Houston Astro owner Jim Crane wants a Luhnow guy. We'll get to the why not Luhnow in just a moment, but thoughts on bringing back A.J. Hinch as the GM, not the manager, the GM. Could he run this organization? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Gary?
Yes. Thank you, guys. Bad idea, bring him back. And one of you guys alluded to it, to where A.J. Hinch is, I mean, he's old school. I mean, obviously he's analytic, but once a coach is always a coach. He wants to be in the dugout. And if it wasn't for that deal, he would probably still be the Astros manager, clubhouse manager, like where Dusty was, and probably would have won a World Series again. And like you guys also alluded to, they wanted him here this year, even at the start of the year, before Dusty even, I'm talking about way back when Dusty got hired, when they mentioned Dusty, everybody at the parade there, at this World Series parade, 99.99% of the people at the parade, when you go way back in time, didn't want Dusty here initially. So bringing AJ Hinch would be a conflict. I mean, when going with deals and Dusty Trust, and some of those players may have still been there and are loyal to, and I'm not just loyal to AJ Hinch or whatever, but I don't know how many people were there, but and the staff and all that, but that's all in water right now.
Yep.
And it just wouldn't mix, in my opinion.
Appreciate the call, Gary. I don't like the mix either, and I think that A.J. Hinch would do a fine job as a general manager. I think he's a smart baseball mind, Stanford dude. We know that Stanford dude's got to be smart, right? Davis Mills. He's been able to combine the analytical side, the old school side. I don't want to always have the looming question of, is A.J. Hinch going to return to the dugout? As soon as Dusty says that he wants to retire, is it going to be A.J. Hinch that's going from front office back into the dugout? That is the thing that I don't want. I think A.J. Hinch could be fine as a general manager. I think he could be really good as a general manager. I don't know if he'd be good or bad. We don't know. Like, he's been an assistant GM in the Arizona front office, and they weren't very good whenever they had him. No fault at A.J. Hinch. I think he's a better manager than he is a GM. As far as the Dusty stuff, look, I'll be one of the first ones to admit I wasn't a fan of the Dusty Baker hire because of how he handled previous staffs, most importantly, arms on previous staffs, Mark Pryor, Kerry Wood. But Dusty Baker, like, he's been able to adapt to also understanding the analytical information. He doesn't do it as much in the 162, but he's willing to listen to the nerds, I feel like, every postseason that he's been in.
I think one of the big things that people don't do enough and don't understand the value of, it's not just analyzing with analytics, it's analyzing personalities so that you can create the best relationships within the job that you have. I think sometimes, like we were talking about, if you're one of the nerdy guys that are just the analytics guys, those guys don't like to be people. They don't like to communicate. They don't like to talk a whole lot, and it can make for some uncomfortable situations. Where Dusty is the best is he was always been an old school baseball guy, but he understood that as the game evolved, that analytics became a bigger part of it. So he didn't close an eye to it. He was open to what it might be able to do to help the game and to help managing along, but he always knew where his roots were in terms of how he made decisions. But because he handled it that way, he was able to develop a relationship with an owner like Jim Crane and find a common ground. Somehow, some way, they found some kind of working relationship common ground between him and Click.
Yeah,
and got enough of things done that they won a World Series. I think that's why Dusty's been able to transcend the old school moniker, because he's not going to sit there and say, you know, like McHale was a guy that just hated analytics for the most part in a lot of ways.
Yep.
It hurt him, and it ended up getting him fired, you know, as well as James Harden. I think Dusty's a guy that's been able to adapt very well.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that since he's been with the Astros, that he's also been, look, and I didn't watch him day to day and his other staff, so I couldn't really tell you and comment on it. He's been really good, I think, of like letting his other assistants do what they're good at. Mm-hmm. Like Joe Espada. Okay, Joe, help me out in certain areas. Go coach the infield, the defense, be that guy. And he does, and does it well. The law firm of Murphy Miller, and before that, Brent Strom. Hey, look, I might have the hook, but you're going to be a guy that I'm leaning on maybe when to make that hook, have the game plan going in. I think that's where Dusty's really adapted. And me, specifically, I probably didn't give him enough credit for that until this postseason run. 713-780-ESPN. Another thing with the Hinch aspect of this with Crane is that Crane loves A.J. Hinch. Mm-hmm. Crane has said the most difficult thing that he had to do was bring A.J. Hinch into his office when the scandal came up in 2019 and had to fire him. He said that. He said he cannot, you know, he hated that moment. They've kept in touch over the years. He loves A.J. Hinch. I think the possibility of A.J. Hinch being the manager of the Houston Astros again is more than zero, to be completely honest with you. So that is a relationship that Crane would not be opposed to. And Hinch does have some front office experience. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Troy, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Troy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I'm going to hit you on the other side of it. Write him, give him a blank check, do whatever it takes to get Jeff Luhnow back in the building. I mean, after all, he is the architect of every bit of the Astros success in the past. get him back in the building. And, hey, if he won't come back, then, yeah, maybe A.J. Hinch. I'll hang up and listen, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Troy. Always good to hear from you, brother. Look, I mean, I've been mulling this over for a while. I mulled it over previously, but again, when everybody started clamoring about Luno, and you and I had the conversation, I think, a week ago or within the last week or so, I wondered to what degree the relationship was severed in the way that they parted company and then Luno, you know, brought up a lawsuit. Was Luno's lawsuit just to make sure he got his money? You know, what was behind all of that? Was Crane really ticked off about it? Because when Crane's ticked off, we know that he holds grudges and, you know, he doesn't have to go back and mend fences. So to me, I understand what Troy's saying because I've mulled it over on multiple occasions thinking, is there a road to having him come back? Because he was so good, because he was the architect, as Troy said, because so many people want to give him flowers for this long run of success for the Astros. I would be open to it. I mean, I would think, but I wouldn't give him a blank check. I would think that that's where Crane has the in to maybe not paying him as much, going, you've been out of baseball. You had some things that really were a negative with this franchise and how it related to relationships with the media, general managers, other teams, just because of how you and your staff went about their business. So if you were interested in coming back, I'd be interested in discussing it with you, but under a lot of terms and parameters. And then Crane could literally kind of create the scenario he wants with a guy like Luno.
I think Luno would work for free to be the Astros general manager. So like the whole how much would it cost to bring Luno back, yeah, I think is irrelevant. Jeff Luno would love the chance to be a general manager in Major League Baseball again. He would sign a contract that paid him the fewest dollars of any Major League Baseball general manager. So finances here aren't the issue. If Crane called Luno right now and said, will you be our general manager, you would have a yes there. Mm-hmm. The issue is Crane's feelings towards Luno and really everybody's feelings towards Luno. I cannot believe who Jeff Luno, who I think is the best general manager we've seen like in our lifetime, to be quite honest with you, the job that he did with the Astros, the worst franchise in Major League Baseball, and then has built the next dynasty in Major League Baseball, tells you how good of a general manager Jeff Luno is, was, and probably will forever be. That he doesn't have a job in Major League Baseball is shocking to me. Like, it seems like there has to be something there.
I was going to say, doesn't it speak volumes, too?
Right. Absolutely, it speaks volumes. Because if Beltran has a job in Major League Baseball, if Cora has a job in Major League Baseball, if Hinch has a job in Major League Baseball, if Carlos Correa signing the biggest average annual value of any infielder of all time, if George Springer gets a big deal, if Marwin Gonzalez is employed by the team that says that they were doing this like illegal activity, people don't really care too much about the sign-stealing stuff, except for Jeff Luno. Like, Jeff Luno's the outlier here for whatever reason. Like, and he was the best general manager the last three decades in all of Major League Baseball. So it tells you a lot about Major League Baseball's feelings towards Jeff Luno.
And he was the only guy that didn't apologize. And I don't know if they hold that against him. But then again, the lawsuit, too, where he came back at his team by trying to either get his money or make his point or try to, you know, really put his foot down and his pole in the sand to say, make a stand and say, I'm not taking the blame for this, when the emails and the other things that came out had him significantly and directly tied to at least portions of the beginning of what became the scandal. I don't know what that whole backstory is, but because of it, and Rob Manfred would just roll over being ticked off if that happened.
So what?
And I kind of like that aspect of it. But I think that's why I would think there would have to be a come to Jesus between Crane and Luno to sit down long and hard, probably on multiple occasions, to try and hammer it out and go, you can't do this. Your staff can't do that. You've got to kind of mend fences and try and make amends for relationships and things that are going to cost us if you are going to be a general manager talking to everyone in the league on a daily basis. You have to keep, you know, other people abreast of what's going on in a lot of ways, because you can't run roughshod doing whatever you do and then say, I didn't get it this email, but I sent this email to scouts to do this in the minor leagues. There would have to be a really firm set of guidelines and groundwork, mm-hmm, but I think it could get done.
The city would throw parades if Jeff Luno was back.
Love it.
It would be the best PR move for the general manager job. If you could pick one name to be the general manager of this team that would have a public PR and move the approval rating even past 100, because the approval rating for the Astros right now is 100, it would be Jeff Luno. Why Jim Crane, though, would say no? I want to tell you that when we return. Also, A.J. Hinch, would you be okay with him? McTaggart says that Crane wants a Luno guy. If Hinch is your GM going into next season, are you all right with that? And why not Luno? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
City of Houston would love Luno. Our Twitch is talking about this. If you want to join in the chat, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We'll get to some of that in a moment. The hang-up here, like, who cares if Major League Baseball doesn't like Jeff Luno? Major League Baseball doesn't like the Astros anyways. So who cares if you're making a move that spites the industry, spites Major League Baseball, spites Robert Manfred? The hang-up here is Jim Crane. Like, Jim Crane was sued by Jeff Luno. I don't think Crane liked that a whole lot. Crane obviously moved on, loves A.J. Hinch, doesn't love Luno. He wants to replicate what he had with Luno, but Luno's name is not mentioned at all. I think it tells you what you need to know about the whole Crane-Luno situation.
My only question, though, you know, as it relates to because of why I think this would make sense, and again, like I said, the one caveat is I don't know how that relationship stands today. I don't know how much spilled milk can be fixed and remedied and how much is just Crane's got the red ass for him now and can't have him back. Because if you constantly are looking for all these candidates and their direct tie-in is they worked for the Astros under Luno and I want a Luno-type guy and his name keeps surfacing for all these candidates because they are Luno-like, then why not just go get Luno? He's not working for another team.
I think that's the answer, though, is he doesn't like him. I think that's the answer.
And I think, again, it goes back to the conversation that we had as it related to Click. And my experiences with working with a one-man ownership group where if he doesn't like you, he doesn't have to tell you why, and he doesn't have to do what everybody says he's got to do. He can do whatever the hell he wants,
right?
And that's why I'm curious if he'll ever say that or just say that we've moved on from him,
right?
Or how he would handle that. But I am curious if there's any way of mending fences and considering Luna.
Yeah. I mean, I would love it. I think the city would love it, too. I just don't think it's feasible. And look, Crane just fired the dude that was the general manager of a World Series team because he doesn't like him. Mm-hmm. So like, it tells you pretty good the mindset of where Jim Crane's at. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. Let's go out there. 713-780-3776. John, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's going on, John?
What's up, man? How are you?
Awesome.
Hi, John.
Hey, to touch on what you guys have already mentioned, I think it would throw gasoline on the fire. The city would love it, as you said, and I think the rest of the country would absolutely hate it. Just, you know, Luno's ties in with, you know, the cheating Astros. Everybody thinks we cheat already. They still do.
Sorry, John, the phone line just wasn't going to work. I think you're on a Cricket line, and Cricket doesn't work at our radio station for whatever reason. 713-780-ESPN. But I think we got the gist of it, John. And if you want to text
call back,
whatever, 713-780-3776. Appreciate the call. Appreciate you listening. The connection just wasn't good enough. I think the gist of it was, look, hiring Luno would put gas on the fire of what is already, you know, a Houston Astro team that is not liked. And is, look, the Astros are feared in Major League Baseball. If we're being completely honest with you, the Astros are feared. Why are they feared? What did Anthony Rizzo's agent do to the New York Yankees? Anthony Rizzo's agent told Ken Rosenthal that the Astros' top suitor was Anthony Rizzo. Why did he do that? Because he knew that it would strike fear in the hearts of Brian Cashman, Hank Steinbrenner, Hal Steinbrenner, whatever his name is, in the New York Yankees, so much so that the very next day, 24 hours after Rizzo's agent plants that story to Rosenthal, what did the Yankees do? They locked up Anthony Rizzo. The Astros strike fear in the hearts of every other contender in Major League Baseball, and if they brought in Luno, because they are already hated, to the caller's point, yeah, they would hate him even more.
It's the t-shirt, right? It's Houston versus all y'all and Houston versus everybody. Look, we don't care because we've already been conditioned to deal with how everyone else can hate the Houston Astros. We love the Houston Astros. Success speaks for itself with the Houston Astros. So kiss all of our asses if you don't like the way we go about our business. Knowing that everyone hates possibly bringing Luno back is not going to scare away anybody from wanting him to come back because his record speaks for itself. His track record is there. What he did to construct, build, and be the architect of this golden era of Houston Astros baseball, it's all right there for everybody to see. That's why we would all love this so much. It would be wishful thinking maybe in some ways, but if there was some way to mend the fences to make this happen again, screw what everybody else thinks, because this is exactly what the Astros would love, and in some ways, I think what Crane and everybody needs.
How many non-players in Houston sports history have
the love and appreciation from the fan base that Luhnow does? That's a genuine question as someone who's only been here 3 years.
You know, I think Maury has some of it, but Maury never won a title, Rudy which T. is kind of crazy. Rudy T, yeah,
Rudy T's
sure.
got it. He's got that cachet for life because he brought the first championship to the city.
Maybe Bum Phillips if you want to go old school.
Maybe. I just listen to you guys talk about him, and I go, I don't know that I recognized before this segment.
Really?
The appreciation. I mean, I knew that, like, how can you not appreciate the guy who built the championship team?
Sure.
But I'm not sure I recognized the level that he was viewed at until talking about it today.
I mean, he's the engineer and the architect sure. of the greatest period of time in Houston sports history.
Yeah, I think the city
recognizes that.
Yeah, I think it's rightfully so.
713-780
They also accept the fact that we may never get the true story of all of what happened in 17. But they realize in the aftermath of it, to be able to have this long-term success and sustainability and the way that everything is, you know, continue to keep moving forward, you go back to the guy that took over a team that mm-hmm. basically was driven into the ground with, you know, a horrible farm system and very little resources and losing 100 games and just said, there is a way out of this, and then showed you, did it, and now long-term, it continues to still be remnants of what he did.
I spent 5 minutes with Jeff Luhnow one-on-one time, and my life is better for it. Now, that is a true – now, the second part's not true. I'm being facetious there. But he was out to scout Ian Happ, and I talked to Luhnow for 5 minutes. And, like, I didn't get the cockiness, the smugness.
Really?
I thought he was really pleasant, actually. 7137 – he was a swell guy. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Drew, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Drew?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, just something here I'm thinking about. A couple of my top moments in Astros history the past couple of years. Remember last year when Altuve hit the home run right before the All-Star break to walk off the Yankees?
Yeah. Grand slam,
that
right?
That was great. Okay. And then this year, you know, obviously sweeping, first round of playoffs and then sweeping the Yankees. That was great. And then, of course, winning the World Series, getting a boo, Manfred on the stage as he's giving the trophy. And then afterward, there was that guy that was interviewed on the news. And I'm not going to repeat it, but he says, what do you think about the haters? You know, what did he say, right?
Drew, do you want that guy to be the GM? I thought you wanted to talk about the GM. Is the guy that was interviewed on Fox that said everybody around or whatever, is that the guy that you want to be the general manager of the Astros?
No. Here's where I'm going with this stuff. All these moments have one thing in common, in my opinion. It was all a big screw you to the rest of baseball. We don't care what you think. We're going to keep winning, okay? And that's what I think bringing Luhnow back would be. Luhnow, you're right, architect of everything, architect of a lot of good memories, architect of 2 championships now. Bring him back. Say screw you to baseball. Who cares what Manfred thinks? That's all I got.
All right. Appreciate the call,
that
Drew.
That was a lot, Drew.
I think, Drew, honestly, though, it was a lot. It was a long way to tell a short story, mm-hmm. I think. But that's cool. We're good. We're good with that, Drew. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. Thanks for calling in. I think that, honestly, Drew represents most of the city of Houston. If you brought back Jeff Luhnow and you took a straw poll to Astro fans, I think 95% of them would be like, yeah, bring back Jeff Luhnow. The hanging black cloud over all of this, though, is that the owner doesn't like the dude.
I was going to say, this is on one man's shoulders and one man only, and it is the owner of the Houston Astros, Jim Crane, because of the fact that when you think about it and you think about how everybody feels, and also the fact that, you know, a lot of organizations are always looking like, is there a track record? Is there past precedence? What can we look at? Yeah, the Red Sox. The Red Sox fired their manager for cheating and then brought him back. And then he's still the manager of the Red Sox, and he's beloved. So could you say, hey, you know what? The Red Sox did it. We did it too. We didn't feel like there was enough to keep us away from him. There's a pathway that's been carved out for you to bring him back. The only roadblock in all of this is Jim Crane, and we don't know what that relationship is. We don't know where it stands, and that I think that's the only reason why Jim Crane wouldn't pick the phone back up and say, hey Jeff, I'm thinking about bringing you back. Why don't you come in and let's talk for a while?
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people that wanted Crane to do this in 19 that said, hey, look, we'll absorb the suspension mm-hmm. for a year, and then we're gonna have Hinch and Luhnow back. 4965, screw the rest of the country. I want Luhnow and Hinch. One of the callers said, sorry for the crap connection. Bluetooth in the car stinks. Gas on the fire, yes. Crane should get over the lawsuit if he's dedicated to reconstructing, keeping the process that made the Astros such a juggernaut. Go past AJ and straight to Luhnow. It's kind of the feeling I'm getting. Brandon T, hiring Luhnow would ignite this fan base even more. In my opinion, I would love it and want it. I think people are on your side. Like, Crane said that he wants to tap into the Luno era. Instead of doing that, just tap go into straight Luno. To the source.
But you know what, Jeremy? Here's the thing on one of the points you were making in rattling off all the people that were seeming in support of it. The one thing where I think that there is a difference in opinion, and that is I don't think for the people that want Luno and Dusty back as a combination, I don't think that's the case anymore. Because right. I think that the lingering effect is all positive with Luno, because we don't know what, you know, everybody uses the cheating as it's not his fault, it's baseball's fault the way they handled it. But with AJ, there is a blemish. And with AJ, he doesn't get remembered and credited with being the manager that brought them their first World Series title. The lasting memory of AJ Hinch is how he handled Game 7 against the Nationals, and people can't forget it. That's why I don't think there would be that same outpouring of love and support to say, I want them both back. But I think in the case of Luno, it would be pretty much 90%+ that would want Luno back.
Yeah, I think Hinch is still loved in this city, but it's a little bit more divided than Luno. Whereas Luno, it's almost unanimous. And 6030 texted us in about that a little bit earlier. Hinch left Cole out in Game 7 of the World Series. No shot. He's got the stones to make a big trade. You could also say that there were stones not to bring in Cole, because like the easy move is bringing in Cole. Hinch went against the easy move. Now, it didn't work out. Alex brings up another point, like to the like not necessarily anti-Luno, but a question if Luno would be brought back. I guess another question is, would other GMs do business with Luno? Which I think is a fair point.
That's kind of what I said too about the fact that
I think that they would, though. Like if let's just say that you call the Atlanta Braves and you give them a trade that they like, they don't care who's making that trade. They're not going to not do business with you and, you know, do what's in the negative of their franchise or organization. I would add in the agent part of it too. Like, how do agents feel about Jeff Luno? But agents don't care about personal feelings. They're going to go to top dollar.
No, but that's what I spelled out when I said when they have to sit down and really hammer out some parameters and guidelines. One of them with Crane would be, you've got to rebuild these relationships with all these GMs and all of these agents and all the guys that you mentioned, because of the fact that from baseball on down, these are people you're going to be talking to on a regular basis, if not daily basis. And if they hate your guts, it's going to be really tough for us to do business.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. One thing that Jim Crane said yesterday to Brian McTaggart was that he's going to take his time. He's going to be deliberate. Don't expect anything this year. He said, wait till 2023. How do you feel about the slow roll on hiring a general manager? And does that throw some concerns into this offseason for the Houston Astros? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, I know that we're all constantly hearing from listeners that said, I picked this game right, this parlay right. I had this one at pegged. I knew this game was going to turn out this way. Well, you know what? If you know all these things, why don't you get paid for knowing them at MyBookie.ag? MyBookie.ag is the biggest online selection of odds and contests for all your sports betting needs. You can bet anytime, anywhere, any place, and it's truly amazing. Bet on the NFL, NCAA basketball. Swing for the fences with the brand new Money Bag. The Money Bag is a one-of-a-kind opportunity to spin for crazy odds on props and futures. Place a bet, spin the wheel, get ready to score epic odds on the best teams, athletes, and events. And if you win, you could win big. We know college football is going on. We know we're getting ready for that really prime-time bowl season. Before you get geared up for bowl season, get geared up for winning season at mybookie.ag. The key is sign up free today at mybookie.ag, and any and every time you see where they want a promo code, put in bet975, and you will reap the benefits. Get your first deposit matched right now, halfway up to $1,000. You put $1,000 in, you get an extra $500 in your account. $1,500 in your account means more money that you can bet on games with and more chances to win. Turn your picks into winners at mybookie.ag. It's not just a sports book, it's a community. As I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Jim Crane telling Brian McTaggart yesterday he's going to take a little bit of a... he's going to take some time when hiring the next general manager of the Astros. One of the things that I read there, though, because a lot of people are making these comparisons, saying that Jim Crane's going to be Jerry Jones. I've pointed to George Steinbrenner as an example here. I think what he told McTaggart yesterday, it looks like they're going to hire a general manager this offseason. They're not going to wait a year. I don't get the feel that Jim Crane wants to be operating the day-to-day of the general manager job of the Houston Astros.
No, I think that's right. And I think that a man that has his amount of wealth and success, sports-wise and business-wise,
and
that
your health is your wealth.
That you invest in yourself. And, you know, and I think that the other thing is, is that he likes to golf. He likes to do other things. And worried about the GM job day in and day out on a daily basis would take away from all of the things that he's worked so hard to get in his life. And I don't think he wants that. He likes to be able to pick his spots in metal or whatever, you know, jump in when he needs to or wants to and get involved. I think, you know, working for an owner like Les Alexander, it was similar. He picked his spots, but when he picked them, you better be damn ready. You better have your ducks in a row, and you better be able to you know, have a good discussion with him about what he wanted to know about, or you were in trouble. And I think that's Crane likes that. And he also likes that aura of, when I do pick a spot, you better be ready for me. And if you're not, I'm going to keep pressing you to see if I got the right guy for the job. As it relates to when and if and how he's handling getting a next general manager in here, I really believe that if he ever gets to the point of hiring Stearns, it's going to be for president of baseball operations, because what that was his title in Milwaukee. He's not going to take a step back to be general manager. And if you get a guy that's Stearns-esque, that's also Luno-esque, that fits the mold, he can bridge your gap and be your general manager, as long as Stearns is eventually the guy that pulls the final trigger and is the guy that communicates with Crane. And I think that's what they're setting it up for.
The president of baseball operations, though, still is going to be making, like, the moves. He's still going to be the acting general manager. So I think it depends on, like, the quality of general manager that you basically hire. Like, if they just promote Bill Ferkus to the GM spot this year, who's, like, currently the point person for free agent discussions, then I can see that playing out. But if they were to hire Hinch or Sigmundell, which I probably prefer Sigmundell over Hinch, then I don't think that you're going to then in a year hire Stearns over that guy. I think if you brought back Click, especially on the year, it makes it very easy. But even if they brought back Click on a multi-year deal, I know that ship has sailed, I think that they could have went that route. So it depends on the quality of GM that you hire this year. But in terms of the slow roll, right, like he says that McTaggart said in the story that he posted, Jim Crane is putting together a list of candidates to become the Astros' next GM, but doesn't expect the position to be filled before the start of the new year. Quote, I'm going to take my time on it this time. Is it all right that Jim Crane is going to be patient about it? Is it okay that he's going to take the time to hire a general manager? Because, look, if it happens in January, February 2023, most of the offseason is already done. Pitchers and catchers report on Valentine's Day. So if you're waiting till January, February, you're looking at, you know, free agency, you're looking at trades, that general manager is not going to be part, basically, of this entire offseason. Is it okay if Crane does go that route, like he told McTaggart he's going to?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm fine with it. Look, you know what? Here's the other thing, Jeremy, that when you were saying that, my own personal experiences, I always try and bring to the table to give you guys some kind of perspective. I've told you guys the story on air and off the air about the fact that when we had an opening in the studio show, and I was looking for a million different candidates, and we had a meeting on the road, and it was Craig Ackerman, myself, and Tad Brown, and Tad Brown and Craig said, we want you to do it. And then as much as we hemmed and hawed about that, in the next breath or several breaths later, Tad said, and by the way, whenever you guys need a night off, just let me know and I'll fill in for either one of you guys and it'll be fine. And when he left, I looked at Craig and I go, you know, he was serious, right? And Craig was like, oh my God. I go, people in power believe they can do anything. And I think that's something that leads to this with Jim Crane. I believe that Jim Crane is trying to show you, and he's also seen it. Look, we all follow sports. It's just not like in the same position of being able to say, I own a team and I have the ability to do what these I've seen in sports with Jerry Jones and Steinbrenners and guys that are legendary for being so powerful because of their money that they're going to put themselves and anoint themselves general managers and decision makers on the actual game side of things. I think Crane feels the same way. Like, Click got all this credit. And I believe that Click believes, if I have the same kind of a semblance of a staff that can manage financials and analytics, I can come in and be the general manager. I can talk to people. I make deals every day in the business world. Why can't I make – and basically treat it as a challenge to himself of going, I can do that job.
Yeah. I don't get the feel from that. Like, I know a lot of people get that feeling with Crane because of how he meddled on the, you know,
trade
deadline.
I don't think he's going to do it long term either, because I don't think he wants that kind of responsibility.
Right.
But I think he, for the time being, while he waits to get the guy he wants, I think he feels like he could do an adequate job.
I don't disagree with that. I just don't feel like Crane wants to do it. Like, people are like, well, of course he wants to do it. He rejected the Wilson Contreras-Jose Urquidy trade. I think he just didn't trust James Click. I really think that's what it all came down to. That's why he fired him. That's why he was only giving him a one-year deal, which he knew that James Click was not going to accept coming off of a World Series. I just don't think he trusted the guy. Owner did not trust the general manager. As far as the deliberate process to hiring a general manager for the Houston Astros, I'm fine with it. Even if it does mean, because it will, if he signs them in January, February, pitchers and catchers will be reporting in a couple of weeks. So you're missing the entire offseason. You're not going to have the GM that you hire in place for this current offseason coming off a World Series. It's going to be Crane and company with Bill Ferkus, with the assistant general managers. Who knows how much Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson are doing. I find that to be a little bit laughable. I don't feel like there's so much to be lost, though, this offseason with Crane and company, you know, keeping the seat warm for whoever the general manager is going to be. I don't think that the Astros really have a whole lot that they need to accomplish this offseason. In fact, for me, it's simple. All I need is two bats. So, like, if that's all you need to accomplish in that general manager seat, whether it's Crane and company, whether it's a new hire, it doesn't matter who's in that seat. The general manager is more about the long term. It's more about getting the minor league system right again. It's more about handling the contracts, things like that of the future. So in these next few months, I don't think it matters that there's not a, you know, real general manager in that seat. I think Crane and company can sign two free agent bats and have a productive offseason going into 2023.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that, but I think that does lead itself back to my point being that I believe he thinks he can step in and they won't miss a beat in the short term. He doesn't want it long term. And to your point, they need someone that really is focused on the long term, because they're like, if this was the Rays, or this was, you know, the you see that teams right now are panicked and trying to clear house because of the fact that they need to get rid of players because they're worried about finances and they're worried about long term, you know, responsibilities.
Yeah, or they're just
players
trying to add to what they feel like, right, a contender, right?
Or they know that there's pressure to win and they still have voids, you know, in multiple places in their lineup. The Astros are in a huge position of strength here. And because of that, too, it also helps in the fact that Crane's thinking, I can get us through the short term. I don't want to do this long term because I want to enjoy life and enjoy, you know, owning a team. But in the short term, I don't think it's a big concern. And I think he could set up structurally without actually announcing it publicly, I'm going to get a guy that's going to be the GM, and in a year's time, I'm going to hire a president of baseball operations that knows the guy and already knows the system, and we're not going to miss a beat.
Yeah. Does it strike fear in you if Crane takes a while to hire the GM, if it's not till January, if it's not till February? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776, 4196. Should we be more concerned about this whole GM and Jim Crane thing? Feels like we should, but since we just won the World Series, we aren't concerned. I think there are some valid concerns. Like, I posted this on Twitter yesterday. Like, you should have trust in Jim Crane. I think you should. I think he is deserving of that trust. Self-made billionaire, has turned around this organization from laughingstock to the very best. So, like, that dude is deserving of some benefit of the doubt. Now, people like point to Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. They were the, you know, America's team. They were this football dynasty. And then Jerry Jones fires Jimmy Johnson. You still win one more with Switzer. And then that you kind of unravel, right? You've never been able to reach that success ever again. So, like, I understand that level of concern. I really do. Because it's like, man, I really hope he doesn't turn into Jerry Jones. I guess where I'm at with this, is it plausible? Is it possible? Sure. It's plausible. It's possible. It's within the realm of possibility. I just don't see Jim Crane going that route. I don't get Jerry Jones vibes from Jim Crane. I mean, maybe I'm naive there, but I just don't.
No, but I don't either, and I believe you, everything that you've said in terms of you need to have trust in this man and give him the benefit of the doubt because of all he's already done since he's taken over ownership. But the one thing that I said gives me concern and a reason to consider pause depending on what happens going forward is if he overspends too much, right? Because as we talked about just in this last segment, we're looking for a guy as a general manager that's more eye on the future to make sure the sustainability is there, to make sure the winning continues, to make sure they're not doing things that, you know, become hindrances as they try and, you know, keep going into the future. If Jim Crane decides as part of his duties, I can sign whoever I want for whatever I want, and now, even if they're not long-term for massive amounts of money,
right,
they're enough financially to give you problems in 2 to 3, 4 years when these deals start coming up or in the last years of it. That's where I would say, depending on what he does, it could concern me.
3008 says, if they're going to give out deals like they did to Montero, that is alarming. The Montero deal, it might be a little expensive.
By
but
itself,
that doesn't, yeah.
By itself, it raises an eyebrow.
Yeah.
But my point is, if there's three deals like that,
sure,
or four, that's where I'm really...
But even if there are three deals like that, if Crane's just spending because he wants to spend and it's not costing you in other areas, I still don't see anything wrong with that. Now, it can't affect other areas, which is your point. You had something to say, Brendan?
Well, I was going to say, I think there's one really easy litmus test. Does he pay Justin Verlander?
If he doesn't pay Justin Verlander, then I think you could look at it and say he's mindful of where he's spending and leaving room for, you know, other places.
But if he does sign Justin Verlander, would you still feel the opposite, though?
Yeah, if he does, are you concerned that this coming off the Montero deal, are you now greatly concerned about his spending?
See, he hit it. He just hit it. If you sign Justin Verlander and you still sign two bats, cool. There's no problem there. But if you sign Justin Verlander and you don't get the two bats, that's when they're concerned.
I think you could officially be worried about not having a GM in place at that point in time.
If he signs Verlander, not the two bats.
Correct.
But if he signs Verlander and gets Jose Abreu and brings back Michael Brantley. Exactly. That's where I'm at, too. Like, if it doesn't cost you in other areas, who cares if an owner wants to spend money? We've always wanted owners to spend money.
Curiously, the other thing I think about, too, is a guy that loves getting tiptoeing right near that tax but doesn't like to go over it, but in order to prove his point that he could do the job, isn't afraid to suck it up and pay the tax. But that's fine with me as long as the roster says I can compete for another World Series.
Yeah, the tax is interesting because we have no idea. Like, he's never really been willing to operate in the tax except for the one time, but now we're hearing that he wanted to spend money. So it's kind of this confusing, how are the Astros going to spend?
Put your money where your interim job is.
Yeah, it's weird. 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Texans with a, is it a splash? Is Eno Benjamin a splash? What it means about the Houston Texans, and they also picked up another waiver claim today that I am really excited about, not because of what he does on the football field. I'll tell you why next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.